I'm glad that Pastor and Mrs. Romano could come and be with us today, and we'll introduce them again in the morning service. But I sure do appreciate their love for the Lord, their zeal for the Lord, their passion for serving Christ and trying to encourage people to live for God. And I'm just thankful for that. And that's what we long for you. As a pastor, my heart for you is that you would love the Lord and serve the Lord with your whole heart. And just jump in with both feet and do the things that the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to do. You know, I tell people many times, the best life in the world is the life lived for Jesus Christ. The Christian life's a wonderful life. And, you know, God didn't hold anything back in giving His Son, Jesus Christ, for us. He gave everything for us. And we ought to hold nothing back in our serving the Lord, in our serving Jesus Christ. And I sure hope that you will. I pray that you will. Pastor Romano is going to come and teach us this morning, preach to us here this morning in our Sunday school hour.
Good morning to everyone. Magandang umaga. That's good morning in Tagalog. I'm glad to be here, and I'm going to say a little bit more about myself in the morning worship. You know, I understand I don't have much time to preach or to give my message, but in our church, I would preach without limit. I would be there, and the people don't mind if I preach long, because they love the Word of God. Amen? And anyway, it's Sunday. It's the Lord's Day. It's a time that we set aside, that we focus on God. I always tell our members, you know, don't worry about your work tomorrow. You'll still get to see your boss. Right? Just focus on the Lord because it's the Lord's day. Let's give Him all our heart, our attention, our mind and our soul, because Sunday is the Lord's day. It's not ours. And so they have learned, to really enjoy the Lord's day. And I always tell them, you know, you don't attend church. You are the church. Amen? You are the church. If Michael Jackson, is that Michael Jackson? He said that we are the world. Let them be the world, but we are the church. Amen? And so we come to church, we enjoy church. Church is not a drag. It's something that we look forward to in the week, to be with the Lord. So I have a very short time. So let me give you my message today. And I thank the Lord for the privilege that Pastor Johnson has given to me. Through the years, we have become friends, and I can tell you right now, your pastor right here has a passion, really, to serve God and to minister to you. He's a very humble man, and I do believe that his heart is really for the Lord, and that's what he wants to share to you as a pastor. So I have a message to you this morning. This is Sunday school time, and I have a message, and I have to warn you that this message is rated PG. Okay? This message is rated PG. And that is the title of my message. if you open your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Samuel. And shall we all rise up, please, as we open to 1 Samuel chapter 3. We're going to be reading verse 10 to 14. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 10 to 14. We can read this responsibly, okay? So you can exercise your mouth. Okay, let's read 1 Samuel chapter 3. I'm going to start with verse 10. You read verse 11 and so on and so forth. And the Lord came and stood and called at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth."
And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both thou and thy shall.
In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask that you'll be with us, dear God, as we study your word. We ask for wisdom from the Holy Spirit, dear God, that we may learn, O God, from your word. Help us, Lord, to grow as believers and learn, dear God, from the lessons of the characters in the Bible. I pray, Father, that you would lead us this morning, dear Lord. May your word find a lodging place in our hearts to help us grow and be mature as believers. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being in your house to worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. And this we pray in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So this message is rated PG. It's all about parental guidance. I want to tell you what the Bible says about parental guidance. We have here the Lord talking about Eli. That Eli allowed his son. The Bible says, the word that the Bible says is, his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. He knew what was going with his sons, and he restrained them not. Okay, what is it about their sons? Let's go back to Samuel, one chapter back, chapter 2, verse 12 to verse 17. Now read with me here. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. And the priest's custom with people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servants came while the flesh was in sheathing with a flesh hook of 3 teeth in his hand. And he struck it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot, all that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. Also before they burned the fat, the priest's servant came and said to the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. And if any man said unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I will take it by force. Wherefore the sin of the young man was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. Now, his two sons were supposed to be ministers in the temple, performing the offering of God, but they are so wicked and sinful and corrupt to the point that people abhorred, you know, the offering of the Lord. They were so wicked. That's the sin of the sons of Eli. And they would even commit immoral things in the temple. You know? And so that's how wicked they are. See, that's the problem with the children. They're so wicked. But, you know, the real problem here, And something that caused judgment to the family of Eli was Eli's attitude. The Bible says, he restrained them not. So here we have the responsibility of the parents. Parental guidance is very important. In verse 27 to 34 of chapter 2, 27 to 34. And just read with me. And there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto thee, unto the house of thy father, when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer up upon my altar to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering which I have commanded in my habitation. Look at this. And honorest thy sons above me to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel my people. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel said, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever, but now the Lord saith, be it far from me, For them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thine house, and thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation and all the wealth which God shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in thine house forever. And the man of thine house, and the man of thine whom I shall not cut off from mine altar shall be to consume thine eyes and to grieve thine heart, and all the increase of thine house shall die in the flower of their age. And this shall be a sign unto thee that shall come upon thy two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas, in one day they shall die, both of them. It's a tragic story of a family, Eli, who is supposed to be working in the temple of the Lord. He had two sons who is supposed to be following him, but they chose to do wickedly, and Eli chose not to restrain them. So this is all about parental guidance. Eli's failure to restrain his children from becoming vile is what we're talking about here this morning. You see, there's another verse in the Bible about a man on how he took care of his family. In Genesis 18:19, let's open there, please. Genesis 18:19. Okay, read with me here. Luke 18:19, it says, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." Now here's another character, the very opposite of Eli, Abraham, that he will lead his children, his family. That's what a man is supposed to be, to lead your family. Every time I speak about the young people, you know, some parents will think, well, Pastor is talking about the young people. Now, every time I talk about the young people, I talk about the parents. Because you cannot separate that. Amen? We need to have parents that lead their family. You know, you don't send your children to church. You bring them to church. Amen? You tell your children, well, we're coming to church today. All of us. And that's what is a head of a family is supposed to do. So this message is about parental guidance. So first of all, I have three things about parental guidance. Okay, first of all, parental guidance is an obligation. It's an obligation. All of us need to perform. That is the most important duty of a parent. It's an obligation. It's not an option. Amen? And some people think, you know, to have children, it's just, you know, they just have children if they desire to. Now, having children is a big responsibility because you have an obligation. I always say this, children are the most important so tied up. Yeah. Oh, there's one in there. You know, children are the most important possession, if you would say that you have. I can lose my house. No problem. I can lose my job. Amen. I can lose a business. I can go bankrupt. But I will never lose my family. That's the one thing I will never lose. You know, you can be successful in your business, successful in your career, but if you fail in your family, boy, you're a failure. That's according to my book. Amen? How about you? Make your family your priority. You know, we pastors, you know, we carry a heavy load as a pastor. Right? We have to take care of the church. We take care of our family too. We have to strike a balance right there. I've seen some pastors' family, they're torn apart because of the church. You see? And Eli, probably, he's a man like that. He neglected his family because he was taking care of the temple. Right? Now, here is a story that we should all learn from. Listen, parental guidance is an obligation. It's not just a rating from a movie that you watch, right? It's an obligation. It's a duty. All of us should perform that duty. It's our responsibility to God. It's an obligation that we are going to be accountable to God for. One day we're going to face God in judgment and ask us, how have you become a parent to your children? Children are an heritage of the Lord. That's what the Bible says, right? They are given to you by God. You were tasked by God to take care of those children. You and you alone. So it's an obligation where we are going to be accountable to God when the judgment comes. You know, God owns our children. You know, everything that we have comes from God. We have just been entrusted with our children. God chose you to take care of that children. Amen? And so it's your obligation to take care of that children for their care and upbringing. It's an obligation to God. That's what I'm saying. We are accountable to God. And secondly, it's also an obligation to yourself. You owe it to yourself that you be a good parent to your children. Amen? I would relish the fact that my children are doing good. Amen? I don't care if they don't have the best profession in the world. As long as they are serving God. As long as they're in church, worshiping the Lord together with the whole family. Amen? That's one thing I care about. You know, my daughter, my youngest child, she's married to an assistant pastor. Right? And they're now in Nova Scotia serving the Lord. Boy, to me, that is a joy. She could have been an accountant. She could have been a doctor. But she's a pastor's wife. Boy, that's a blessing. Amen? I know that they're going to do good right there. And I praise the Lord for that. It's an obligation to yourself. It is to our shame when our children makes a mess of their lives. It's to our shame. There was a story about a man who was his job is to build prisons. He would design prisons, and he's good at it. He's doing it. He does a good job of building prisons, designing them, and building them. But because of his job, he neglected his family. And it came to a point that his son went to prison. You know what's ironic? His son went to a prison that he himself built. Is that not a tragedy? Amen? Sometimes we work our tails off and we work so hard for our family. You know, especially Filipinos. I'm going to have more of that in my message this morning. You know, we work hard for our family. You know, in the process, we neglect to give them what they really need. That's their spiritual need. And we end up having nothing. I always say this to our church because, you know, Filipinos, we work so hard. Right? And we come to Canada. Is it for spiritual reasons? No. It's for economic reasons. Let's admit it, right? Let's not go around the bush. We want a better life for ourselves. And I always tell this. You want a better life for yourself, don't neglect their spiritual lives. Because even if you have the material things in this life, without spiritual life, if their spiritual life is dead, then all those things will amount to nothing. One time I was visiting a lady at the hospital in Alberta. One of my members told me, you visit this lady. And she's a very sick lady, and she's dying. And she told me about her life story, you know. She said, I would work 3 jobs, send the money to the Philippines, you know. Now I'm sick, nobody even calls me. And I'm going to the Philippines to die. And nobody even cared. So I said, you know, she just wasted her life. If she could have just lived her life for God, took care of the children spiritually more than materially, he would have loving kids who would call him her every day. And that's why I tell you, it's more important that we parents give our children what they need. It is an obligation to God, an obligation to yourself, it's an obligation to your children. You brought them up into this world. Amen? That's not their fault. It's your fault. Amen? You decided to have 1, 2, 3 children. And you should be able to know to take care of 3 children if you decided to have 3 children. Amen? So you owe it to your children to guide them. You brought them into this world. It was not their choice. It was your choice. Amen? So it's an obligation. Then, secondly, parental guidance. It's an opportunity. Amen? The obligation. People don't want to talk about obligation. Now don't tell me about duty. I hate that. I hate telling me that I have an obligation. So let me tell you this. Parental guidance is also an opportunity. Amen? It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to lead a person to grow. You know, I used to be a civil engineer. Before I became a pastor, I was a civil engineer. I did not plan to be a pastor. Actually, when I came here to Canada in 2000... Help me here. 2003. I did not come here as a pastor. I came here as a civil engineer. Like I said, wanting to have a better life for my family. 2 years into being here in Canada, the Lord called me to be a pastor. And so I tell our church, you know, I used to build buildings, but now I'm building lives. And that to me is a very good profession. Amen. Listen, it's a joy for pastors like Brother Johnson and me to see Christians grow. I just heard him say, our desire for you is that you grow with the Lord. Serve God. Just like what John said, I have no greater joy than to see my children walk in truth. It's a great joy to see Christians get matured. And I have some members in our church who used to be drunkards. Right? Now they still drink soda and water. I used to have, you know, members who would do all kinds of immoral things. And they came to our church, they grew, now they're serving the Lord. It's a joy for us to see them. How about your parents? Isn't it a joy to see your children grow in the Lord? Amen? So I tell you, you'll find no other greater joy than to see your children walk in the truth. It's an opportunity. An opportunity to lead a person to grow. There was one parent in our church, because you know, in our choir, if you're a choir member, you abide by strict rules. You want to sing for the Lord? You see, singing for the Lord is as important as preaching, because you convey a message. So there's strict rules. We don't want you to be late in practice. Because that disrupts everybody. Right? And not only in practice, you're part of the service. Don't be late for church. Right? So those are the rules. And one of them said, that's hard for me because we have a baby, you know. Sometimes he wakes up late, all those things. So we cannot help it. But to be late in Sunday school. So I said, you know, I remember when we have kids. If they are still asleep, we would change their clothes while sleeping. We would carry them to the car, sleeping. Amen? That's what we did. Look at what the Bible said about Eli. You put your children above me. And God doesn't appreciate that, amen? We pray for children, and when we have children, that hinders you to serve God. I don't think that's right. Amen? We want our children to be a blessing. It's not a hindrance for us serving the Lord. Amen? If there's a will, there's a way. If you don't like it, there's an excuse. See, when we love the Lord, we're going to do everything to serve the Lord. So it's an opportunity to lead a person to grow. It's an opportunity, you know, physically we provide for our children, right? We want them to grow. I remember our kids, some of you have kids like this. They won't eat properly, right? And you have to force them to finish your food, right? How many of you have children like that? Now, there are some children, you don't have to feed them. They'll help themselves to the fridge, right? But there are some children, especially the little ones, they just won't eat, right? It's our responsibility to make sure they're fed, right? I remember our second son. He just won't eat. And as a parent, I have to show my son, I'm the father, I'm the boss of this house. If I tell you to eat, you eat. If you say you don't like the food, you still get to eat. Amen? You know what I do? He would just sit there, stare at the food, and I said, you're not going to leave this table until you finish this food. So we left him at the table, forgot about him. In the morning, we saw him sleeping on the table. And I said, you're still not going to get out of that table unless you finish that food. And so he finished his food. And from there on, my children knew that when my father says so, I have to follow. Amen? And children have a way of doing things. They would say, well, I don't feel well. I don't feel well. Really? Go ahead, throw up. And he would throw up and say, see, I'm sick. I just thrown up. Oh, you just thrown up. Don't you feel better now? Let's go to church. It's an opportunity. You know, physically, it's our responsibility. Emotionally, we lead our children to be strong. Amen. You see, parents, it's not only feeding them, it's not only providing for them, that's our responsibility. We need to take care of their whole well-being. They need to be strong. Amen? And that's the reason why you as a parent should also be strong. Where will they get their strength? From their neighbor? No. They'll get it from you. So I tell the parents, listen, you want your children to be strong? Be strong yourself. Amen. And where do you get that? From His Word. Where do you get trained to be strong? In the church. It's a responsibility, it's an obligation, not only for yourself, but most especially for your children. Emotionally, mentally, you know, I tell you, we have a lot of mental issues here in Canada because of the stress of living here. Right? In the Philippines, before they would come to Canada, they have what they call PDOS, right? Pre-departure orientation service. You know what they teach in PDOS? It's a money grab, right? You have to pay for that. What do they tell you? Okay, you go to Canada, it's colder. I didn't know that. It's colder, you have to have a sweater, you have to do this. And this. They didn't tell you about the stress. A stressful living here in Canada. They never did they teach you that? No. And that's what they are not prepared for when they come here. And that's why we have families here that instead of having a better life for themselves, they have a worse kind of a life. Even they're not prepared for it. You see, parents, listen, our children need to be prepared to face the world. And they have to be strong mentally. And then the important thing is spiritually. It's an opportunity to lead them to grow spiritually. Be in church. Be in church as a family. Amen. Don't allow your children to make church an option. It's not an option, folks. You're a Christian, you're a parent. Your children comes to church with you. As long as I said to myself, as long as my children lives under my roof and eats my food on the table, they'll come with me to church. Amen? You might say, well, don't you think you're forcing them? No, I'm not forcing them. I'm leading them to the right path. That's how I would look at it. Amen? I'm glad that when I was a new Christian, that my pastor would preach hard to me. You know? He would shout and he would rumble and all those things. And now I understand. It's for a reason for me to be strong. Amen? It's not to put me down as a person. It's to bring me up to a higher level of spirituality in the Lord. So it's an opportunity to lead a person to grow. It's an opportunity to lead a soul to know and walk with God. You know, we lead our children as a soul by instruction. Don't be afraid to instruct your children. I'm hard with our young people. But you see here, young people know, you know, some people say young people are stupid. And they are. But they could be smart too. They know if you are sincere with them. And that's one thing our young people see in me, my sincerity in them. So that even if I'm hard on them, they know that I do it because I care for them. They know that, you know, I deal with them, I work with them, the way I do is because I care for them. So, I instruct them. So don't be afraid to instruct your children. Tell them what to do. And we also lead them to walk with God by our example. Young Timothy had an example in his mother. Not only mother, grandmother. What a blessing that is. Amen? To have a caring grandmother who handed down her legacy of walking with God to her daughter, and her daughter handing it down to Timothy, who is now being used by God. Amen? It's a legacy. It's something that we give to our children. It's an opportunity to leave a remarkable legacy. The Bible says, it's better to have a good name than precious things in life. I would that my children, you know, when I retire in the ministry, they'll still be in the work of the Lord, amen, serving God. We want to leave a good legacy with them. I want to retire in peace and joy seeing my children walking with God. And if that's something that you tell your children, they'll take that to heart. Amen? They'll take that to heart. Now tell my children, if there's one thing I want from you, it's not to bring me to a nice home someday when I'm old. Right? The one thing I want from you is that you walk with God. Serve God. I won't ask anything from you. The Lord has taken care of us. Amen. What I want you to do is to walk with God, serve God. It's an opportunity to leave a remarkable legacy. To leave behind a character that they will possess. You know, we mold our children's character. Amen? What they learn that at home. You know, the food that you eat, right? They get to learn that. And they don't forget about that. Just like we eat the food that we are accustomed to. We're here in Canada already, we still eat bagoong. Right? Why? Because we got used to it. Amen? We acquired a taste for it. We're not going to leave it. Amen? And so we still crave for those toyo and those food that, you know, we Filipinos are known to eat. Why? Because that's how we grew up. That's how we were accustomed to. And we don't leave that. Just like our children. The Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he shall not depart from it. The same thing with the teachings of the Lord. And my last point is this. Parental guidance or absence of it will always lead to an outcome. It will always lead to an outcome. It can be a good outcome. Okay? Just like Timothy. Timothy turned out to be a good young man that God used. It's all because of a grandmother and a loving mother who loved the Lord. And that love was handed down to their children, their descendants. And Timothy is a recipient of that kind of love and care. Loving Christian mother and loving Christian grandmother. You know, I would always say this to you parents. You know, if you want to leave something behind to your children, right, make sure you have them. If you want to leave behind a good spiritual legacy, then be spiritual yourself. You want your children to be faithful yourself. You want your children to read the Bible, read your Bible. You want your children to pray, let them see you pray. Amen? Pray together as husband and wife. And I will tell you, those images that they see will be retained in their minds, and I'm going to tell you, they will follow that example. My second son, he always answers back, you know, in a polite way, but he always has a reason. I told him, you should be a lawyer. But he would always have a reason, he would always have a discussion, right? And it would seem that he won't follow. During our discussion, he would give me all those reasons and, you know, counter statement, like in a court. And we would think that this boy is hard-headed. Only to find out, you know, later on, that he would follow what we told him. Maybe he's just, you know, he's just proud to say, yes, I'm wrong. That's the way he is. He likes to explain things out. But after a while, he'll follow. And you know, my wife and I would say, you know, even if they don't show that they obey now, they will later on. Amen? So don't stop doing it. Don't stop teaching them. Don't stop, you know, even if you have to repeat yourself over and over again. Right? Amen? If they tell you, I've heard that before, I don't care. I'm going to say it again. You know? And by that, listen, that gets retained in their minds. And I tell you, there will come a time the Lord will tell them, your parents are right. You should obey them. At least you said something to them. There's something that they can recall. If you have never told them anything, never instructed them anything, there's nothing that they will recall. You get me? You understand? So we keep on telling them, we keep on being an example to them. It can be a good outcome. The example of Hannah, the mother of Samuel. You know, she prayed for a son. And she said, Lord, give me a son and I will give it back to you. That's what we need to do. Give it back to the Lord. Amen? And all I want my children is to serve the Lord. All I want for them is that they walk with God. You pray for children. I do believe that if we give them to the Lord, we ought to be an example to them. But on the other hand, it can be a terrible outcome. The example of Eli and his children in our text. They made themselves vile. You know, that's not the whole problem. The main problem is Eli did not restrain them when he had a chance. He had a chance to train them, to teach them, to warn them. The Bible says he did not do that. David was a great man. He's a great king. Right? He's a great man. Never was an example. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. What was God's judgment to David? There's not going to be peace in your family. Right? Listen to this. Parents, whatever you do will have consequences, not only on yourselves, but especially with your family. What happened to David's children? They fought each other. They killed each other. One raped his half-sister. Right? And one of them wanted to kill him. Talk about dysfunctional family. That's worse than dysfunctional. Why? Because David never made himself an example. Listen to me. You might be great in what you do. He's a king. He's a great king. But he failed his family. He might be great as a ruler in Israel. But he's a total failure with his family. Listen to me. Parental guidance is very important. Solomon's sin has caused his son to forfeit the 10 tribes of Israel. Solomon. I would like to close with this in Psalm 144. Open with me in Psalm 144. Psalm 144, verse 12 to 15. Look at this. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. That our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. That our garners may be full, affording all manner of store. That our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets. That our oxen may be strong to labor. That there be no breaking in nor going out. That there be no complaining in our streets. Look at verse 15. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Listen. Starting from verse 12 to verse 14, are the blessings of a godly people. Right? Do you believe in me? Do you believe that those are the least of the blessings of a godly people whose God is the Lord. Amen? Now, what's first on the list? That was on verse 12. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. And then it went on, verse 13, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth. Talk about those other things. What am I pointing out here? The very first blessing of a godly man are your children. Your sons planted. Your daughters polished. those are the first and foremost blessings from the Lord. It's not the oxen. It's not the material things. It's your children. Those are the blessing of a godly person. Listen, this message is rated PG.
Amen. My kids will ask me sometimes, what do you want, Dad? What do you want for your birthday? What do you want for Christmas? And Ashley, she just teases me endlessly about it because she said, oh, I know, Pastor. I know you just want us to live for Jesus. And it's true. There's nothing in this world that I really need or want more than I want them to live for Jesus Christ. And that ought to be the desire for your children, that they live for Jesus. I don't even want them to be good kids. I tell them sometimes, I want you to be godly kids. There's some kids out in the world from unsaved families that maybe they're good kids. They're decent kids. I don't want them to be good kids, decent kids. I want them to be godly kids. I want them to love the Lord with all their heart. I don't know, where each of you are at, and I know there's all kinds of different circumstances and things that have affected families, but wherever you're at, don't give up on your children, whether they're younger still or they're teenagers now or even young adults. Would you pray for them and love them? Maybe you need to fast and pray for them. Sometimes our kids might ask their mom, why are you not eating? Why are you not eating? What are you doing? Well, many a times the reason is because there's a mom that loves you. It's a mom that wants your attitude to be good and your spirit to be good. There's a mom that doesn't want the devil to ever get in and get your heart and turn you away. Let's pray for our children. Maybe you need to fast and pray for those teenagers or children that you got. When you do wrong, you're going to have to admit that you've done wrong. It's good for parents to apologize to their children too sometimes. Maybe you had a bad attitude. Maybe you responded wrongly. And you got to, talk to whatever kids you affected, or sometimes it's all of them. Because you hurt all of them when you have a bad attitude or you act wrongly. Let's take our responsibility very seriously. Even some of you that are not parents, can you strive to be a godly example for the children that will grow up in our church? You strive to be a godly example for the teenagers in our church? It's important. It matters. And I hope and pray that you will. We're gonna take an offering at this time. Can I get Colin and BJ and Eric? Would you guys help us? That and Brother Dave, maybe. We're going to take an offering right now to strive to be a blessing and just show our love to our guest preacher and his wife today. And I'm so thankful for their coming. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this message that we heard. I pray that you'd use it. Stir our heart, change us, help us to strive to be in our own life the Christians that you want us to be, the parents that you want us to be. Help us to know how to wisely and lovingly restrain our children, because, Lord, some of them are headed in the wrong direction. And they just need a godly father, a godly mother. You mentioned Timothy this morning, Lord, and Timothy didn't have a godly father. But there must have been a godly mother and grandmother who prayed a whole bunch. And God, I pray for even those here that maybe are a mom that are kind of trying to do it alone, or a father that's trying to do it alone to raise their children, to help them to live for Christ. God, help them. Lord, help all of us to live godly, set a good example for the young people. Jesus' name I pray.